Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Kelly Osborne.
Hi.
Welcome to Tea Time.
I am so, so happy to be here.
It's so wonderful
having
to have you here.
With two of my favorite ladies on the planet.
Hello. Hello. Ooh. I can't drink this because Quinn just drank out of it. Oh, well.
That's fair.
Little puppy. Welcome. Are you even a mother if you're not going to drink out of your dog's bowl?
You know, here's the deal. If I didn't just watch him lick his dick and balls, I would have maybe considered.
See, I don't care.
But I figured.
With my dogs, I don't care. I share ice cream with them.
I would share. I don't know. It was like right immediately after. It was like right. Yeah, Kelly doesn't care. She's like, I don't care.
Kelly's dog life. This is how I knew her.
It's a different life.
It's a different life. And, you know, when we got Quinn, I was like, babes, you know, I need a dog because I need something to love me. She was like, I love you.
And I was so offended.
It's something different about dog love. It's not the same.
And now I understand it.
You get it now.
It's because I grew up with dogs and I always have had animals, but Quinn, baby, puppy, raising, like feeling.
It's the best.
It's a different. Sleeping with him. You get it. I mean, you obviously get it. How many dogs do you have right now?
I have 3 dogs.
Okay. That's like not a lot for you.
No, we have an Irish wolfhound, which is like having 10 dogs.
Yeah.
Because he's 6'4".
Yeah.
And is quite the biggest thing you've ever seen. But he's just like a big oaf. He's gorgeous. And then we have a Pomsky named Lemmy.
Love the Poms.
He is naughty and just so much fun. And then we have our princess. We don't know what she is. She's just from a gift from Jesus.
Amen.
And she is just like, she's the best.
How did the dogs get along with the baby?
Oh my God, they're so good. They let him do anything to them.
Good.
Anything to them. And it's like, we all sleep in one bed together. So it'll be like
cozy.
A dog, a baby, another dog, Sid, me. In it.
It's like massive co-sleeping.
It's the best. I am such a fan of co-sleeping. Mm-hmm. I know that there are so many people against it, but I think it makes more sense when you think about like the fear that the child goes through when they wake up and they don't know that you're there and they don't know where you are. And it instills all these things at such a young age that I'd rather just co-sleep and be uncomfortable for a few years. And then
how old is Sid?
He's two.
So,
I can't believe that baby shower was 2 years ago.
I know.
That's wild. We were at that baby shower.
I know.
Oh my God, I can't believe it was 2 years ago.
That's wild.
Isn't that crazy?
But I think I agree with you with
remember how pregnant I was?
Yes.
You were so that purple
cute.
Hair. You were gorgeous. But
you're still
co-sleeping.
Cute.
Yeah, obviously.
Still cute.
Is, I think, also if someone is breastfeeding, so much easier as well. Because you can just kind of roll over. I understand the anxiety of like, is somebody or my partner going to roll over on my baby? But outside of that, I think it's really beautiful.
It works well. He'll sleep on his own if you put him to bed, but then he'll still come in. He's clingy because he loves his mom, but he's not as needy as other babies that he's growing up with. Mm. And I honestly think it's because we co-sleep. Because all the babies that co-sleep with their parents are like him.
Mm. And they got enough of their parents to sleep. It's like, I'm on my own today. Yeah. I got it. I like that.
Is it hard when you leave him? Does he have separation anxiety?
I've never left him.
What? Like, where is he right now?
Oh, you mean like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I was like, is he
he's with his dad right now.
Right. Okay. Yeah. She's with another parent.
She's like, I've never.
No.
I've never left him. I've never, ever, ever spent a night away from him.
That part I understand.
Ever. But it's coming to a point where I'm going to have to start figuring out how I'm going to do that. I just don't yet know how to even
start
begin
the process,
to.
It's going to be harder for you than him.
Way harder for me than him.
I see that.
Because he's so independent and he's happy. He doesn't like it when I leave, but it doesn't take him long to distract him and get him onto something else. And he cries when I come back because he's very happy that I'm home. But it's...
That's so sweet.
I love that
it's
for
like,
you.
Mommy.
So and he calls me mommy and I love it.
Aww.
I've known Kelly for a while now.
That was going to be my question.
I've known Kelly for a while now.
How do you two know each other?
And I can't, I don't remember the exact day where I can be like, oh yeah, I met Kelly that day. What I know for a fact is that her mom set us up.
Yeah.
Her mom set us up to be friends.
Sharon Osbourne blind date?
Yes. And I have always told Kelly this, but she was always the only female in the industry that I standed. At our time of height of heights.
And I feel like we were both in the same boat. Like, I was like, oh, thank God there's someone like Raven here because she gets it.
Yes, same thing. Kelly always was a truth teller, always honest, always down to earth. And I honestly attributed that because you're not an American.
That's hilarious.
You're not a full American, no offense.
I know, I'm not.
And I love that about, but it's true though. Like, you would have been different if you didn't have the background that you did.
I think so too.
And you would have ended up different as well.
I think so too. I consider myself so lucky that I've got to have the best of both worlds and, you know, spend most of my childhood in the UK, but then my teens and 20s, I was here in America. And it's great. I it's weird. Like, I love America. I love living here. It's a country that has given me so many beautiful opportunities. But I never feel American. Mm. And then I go home to England and they tell me that I'm too American.
Hilarious.
So I'm like, where do I fit in? Where do I belong? I don't really know. But considering the state of everything that's going on right now, I am...
See you later.
I'm not going to say no to the idea of going home for a bit.
Right.
Really?
Right.
Yeah. What about your parents and your siblings? Do they feel the same way at all? Like, they don't really
My parents feel the exact same way.
Mm.
My brother is truly American.
He is American.
Very American.
Yeah, he's American.
How so?
He has an American passport.
Oh, like he's literally
when you know him or you see him and the energy
like
around him.
Huckleberry Finn, American.
He's an American.
He really is. Funny. Oh my gosh. Okay. So.
I love that about you. With your child going back to England, are you going to allow that baby to feel the dual citizenship-ish?
I want that for him. I want him to have the best of both worlds like I did. But I really want him to have an English accent.
Oh my gosh.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I really want him to have an English accent.
So cute.
Because Sid, Daddy Sid, because for people who don't know, my partner and my son are both named Sid.
Love it.
And Daddy Sid, his parents are both English.
Wow.
But then they immigrated and moved to Iowa.
He doesn't have an accent.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't have one, but both his parents do. Oh. And I have one. So if baby Sidney has it, and he calls me mummy, it'd be so great.
Has he traveled overseas with you at all?
Yes, he has.
Okay, so you just have to do it more often.
And I play a lot of English cartoons for him.
Good.
There you go. Like this. And everyone who comes into the house should have to speak to him in an English accent.
Oh, no, I make them, if it's a really, really American word that I can't pronounce properly, I make people say it to him in a English accent attest to try and do it because there were words like I say turtle and Americans would say
turtle.
So it's better actually.
It's better.
I like
everything
that
is better
more
in
now.
An English accent. Literally,
well, like that even when it comes down to ordering food, I never know if I can say tomato.
No, you can't. Not here.
No,
you can't. We don't know what you're talking about.
I have no idea what I'm talking about.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Kelly? A tomato?
And then I'd say tomato. Or trying to say butter.
Oh, it sounds so much better when you say butter.
Everything sounds better in an English
this
accent.
This is very true.
It's literally.
But then they're like, butter.
Butter.
Surprised yours is so strong, though.
It's weird. I think it was... Don't think I wanted to lose it.
I was going to say, I feel as though you must have been
it's
like,
a conscious
I'm going to keep this.
Thing.
Yeah.
Because my brother never even thought about it, and he's got way more of a twang than I do.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense. Because just to be, you know, living in both places, and then if you were in high school in LA or whatnot, I would assume it would dampen a bit, but you got that.
What's your favorite American word?
Oh.
Gosh. If you have one. Or American. What do you make fun of the most?
Like, what do
I
say?
Well, it's words that, like, I can't say because they just sound stupid.
Do it.
Gnarly.
gnarly. Okay, fair.
It just sounds stupid. Like, oh, wow, that was gnarly. Like, no, it just...
It doesn't sound stupid.
I think it sounds like so it. Stupid coming out of an English person's mouth.
Okay. You see it okay. as like, oh, it was gnarly.
Yeah.
And you have that intonation down.
I need the
down.
R That's in gnarly. R. But when you say it with an English accent, it just sounds really stupid.
Gnarly. Gnarly. Okay, so I want to ask a kind of a personal question. If you don't want to answer, you're more than welcome not to.
We love personal.
I love personal. You do not shy away from your past and the things that you've been through.
No.
And I'm not going to go into it. Those who want to know, you can look it up.
Yeah, it's all there.
It's all there.
Pictures and everything.
Oh. I've experienced. I saw some. Your child. How do you feel about going into motherhood, knowing your past? What boundaries are you going to place on that child? Like, have you had that conversation? Knowing that the world will allow for things to happen.
Yeah.
Are you going to be extremely protective? How are you going to navigate that?
I think you just have to take everything a day at a time with it and judge each situation individually. Mm. You can't have just one rule and one way of going about it because it's too nuanced. Mm. But as it pertains to like my history, I want him to know everything. I want him to know who I am. I want him to know that you can... Oh, did you hear my tummy?
Yeah. We don't have any crumpets.
It's the bubble water. It's the fizzy water.
It's sparkle water.
I want him to know that I've had a past and I came through the other side of it. Mm. Because that the journey is important. And I'm not ashamed of if who I was and what happened because... It led me to the me I am today.
100%.
And I can honestly say that I'm happy, I'm proud of myself, and I fucking love my life. Like, I've never been like that before. I can't tell you how many times we've been on the phone, and it's just been like, what the shit is going on? Mm-hmm. And it was a chaos that was all of my own making.
Wow. Really? You're blaming yourself for it?
I mean, there was some things that, like, there were assholes out there that...
I'm not going to blame you for it, Kelly. I think that you, knowing that you and your family were inventors...
The stuff when I was a kid, you can't blame me for. I was
a
kid.
Yeah, you were a kid.
It's the stuff when I was...
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair. When you knew better.
When I knew better and I still was not making the right choices.
Okay, okay.
Would you let Sid know or tell him the story of how you were shot?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you were shot?
I just set you up for that. There you go. I knew she didn't
Kelly,
know
where,
that story.
Where the hell did you get shot at? And who did it?
My brother.
Oh.
It was an accident. And it was like a really high-powered air rifle.
Oh.
That looked just like a rifle. And he was doing target practice. I didn't know. And I ran in front of where he was shooting. And it went straight through my leg and out the other side.
I love this girl
Queen.
So much. Let me tell you something
Clean
about
through.
Kelly. She's a little hood. Y'all don't even know, but
she's
Kelly,
badass.
She's a badass bitch. Like, she be going through some shit, yo. And she be holding it in with her pearls.
Excuse me. My 40-year-old woman pearls. Thank you.
That's also, like, rock star life, though.
Yes!
Like, that is just having that, like, hardcore, like, yeah.
I didn't know what this happened. You got a scar?
Yeah.
You got shrapnel?
It went right through her
no,
leg.
No, the worst, that wasn't the worst part of it. So keep in mind, this is still in the 90s, it's England, we're in the countryside. It's not like technology like they have now. And they took me to the local hospital, which was an old manor house that they turned into a hospital.
Oh, Jesus.
And
they, like, have cows and shit.
Literally. Yeah. And I went in there and they go, oh, our x-ray machine is out of service, so we're going to have to clean all the shrapnel out by hand.
Oh, hell no.
And so they took this, I'd never seen a Q-tip so long in my life, wrapped it in gauze and, like, tightly, dipped it in iodine and poked it through the hole in my leg.
No, came out the other side. Oh, Kelly, oh my God.
Are you serious? My whole body's trembling
right
and
now. Like,
to not make sure they
the
pipes. They didn't numb you out or anything?
No.
Because they didn't have anesthesia they used
and
on the
because
cow before.
They're not really, like, they probably would have given me, like, a shot of whiskey and been like, go on.
Oh, yeah, I told
it's
you.
It's old school.
That's
old
school
English. My grandmother was Welsh, and so that energy and that kind of, like, sensibility is so British, so just, like, you shoot it
Take
back.
Stiff upper lift, like, you get through it. And I mean, it's probably it's good because I don't think that they have an opioid pandemic as bad as they do
here in
the UK. Yeah.
No, probably not. It's quite
pills are just starting to become a thing in the UK.
Just now. Oh, yeah. Gosh. We were it was way never, ahead of the curve there.
Never really a thing.
It's funny you bring that up. I was talking to Miranda the other day because there's so many fentanyl ads everywhere. And I was telling her when we were younger, we knew that there was a drug problem, but it was DARE.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was for like weed.
It was for weed. You know what I mean? Cocaine, crack, but it wasn't like, it was like crack kills. This is your brain on meth type stuff.
Yeah.
But I feel like the fentanyl commercials and ads for it are like Starbucks buildings right now.
Because it's prolific. Like it's everywhere.
I don't understand fentanyl in the sense of being a drug dealer because you just kill all your clients.
You're giving them flesh eating disease. So how do you keep going? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
Like I don't get it. Like everybody that even if you go down that road, they always say it ends in three places: jails, institutions, and death.
Mm.
If you're going down the fentanyl road, it lands in one place: death.
Death. Yeah, you're very, very correct.
And they know it too. When you watch people follow fentanyl, they know it, and that's even scarier. It's like the coke and the weed—not the weed, because I don't like the coke and the meth. They're like, "Oh, I got a little bit more time."
Yeah,
the fentanyl people know where they're going
because they're so mentally unwell.
Feels bad.
The chase of the high is so strong that dying would be acceptable. You guys are my favorite.
I love how honest you are.
Thank you.
And you've always been that way. You've been super open, no matter if you get backlash or not. And I appreciate that about you because when people look back in time and see your comments, even though they were mad at you when you said it, when they look back, they're like, she was right. She was right. Who was that for you and your family, and where did you learn that from?
My mother.
Yeah.
And my father, but mostly my mom. My dad is always... I got like the verbal diarrhea from my dad where you just say what you think without really thinking about it. But the ability to stay in my own conviction and not give a shit if people like it or not is that comes from my mom.
For sure. Sharon through and through.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question for the two of you because you both did time on The View.
Yeah.
What were the experiences like?
Did you guys experience of my life?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But I fucked up. So
saying things, you mean?
Yeah. And it.
Same with you, I guess, to an extent, right?
No.
Hers was pretty bad.
Mine was the worst. Like it was really bad because what I was meant to say came out fucking wrong and offended so many people, and it completely broke me. Broke me to a place that I don't think anything has ever broken me.
Mama.
And because I was being labeled a racist, and it's like the furthest thing from what I am. But, you know, people move on. They don't forget.
Never.
But people move on. And I think that in the last 10 years, I've proven myself to be who I am.
Yeah.
You know, I think that where there's smoke, there's fire. But that situation, I think it was a lot to do with, like, you know, when you're on that table.
It's different.
It's different. It's different.
It's not safe space.
It's not. And you don't realize that there's an agenda going on in the room until
it's too late.
It's too fucking late. Yeah. And then you're like, oh my God. And then there are people realizing that it went too far and then trying to say sorry. And then it just turns into something so ugly.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you did it for as long as you did.
I feel like it's happened, though, to most people on that show because Whoopi fell under it. You fell under it. You've fallen under it. Like, it's hard.
Mm.
I can only imagine being live in that way. It's so much pressure. And you're being asked to kind of have
but comfortable... the political aspect of it.
Exactly.
Politics get people so angry.
No, I know. But you're being asked to have those types of conversations and also a relaxed, you know, this is my opinion way, which doesn't really work.
No.
So it's challenging.
I remember, because they were asking me about you before you came on. I was like, that's my girl. she's amazing. She's going to be bomb. And I still stand by that forever, no matter what happened.
I love you.
Because you're fucking awesome. I understood what you were trying to say.
Yeah.
Just like how when I say things, I don't say it the right way. But when I come back around, it will make sense later.
Yeah.
And again, with the comfortability that that show falsely gives, because the women are fantastic.
Yeah. They are.
The producers are amazing.
They're amazing.
Turn the cameras on. It's not.
You forget.
It's not living room conversation.
No.
And it will make or break people. But the thing, and I stand true by you being on that show, no matter what happened or not, was because look where you are. Some people would have gone through that and hid and continued to flub and all that. But you came back and you were like, no, sweethearts, I am amazing. I said the wrong word, but I'm still moving forward. Yeah. And that's why I love you. And I think that, again, you know, in that space, being live, it's dangerous.
These are hard jobs, though, that you guys have had. And being in the public eye is really challenging. And I've obviously had, like,
live
my
TV
little...
Live TV now gives me the shits.
Oh, I can't doubt that. I mean, but I've had my little taste of it in a controlled environment that can be edited. And still, you end up getting backlash or hated or whatnot. But there is a sense of pressure to also understand that most of what you say will be taken and put in soundbite, and no one wants to hear the full conversation or the story, and that's hard too.
But I'll give you an example of the way people think as well. It's like, I can say, today I don't know why, I just don't like the color pink. And somebody at home will go, pink represents breast cancer. That means you don't like anybody with breast cancer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, what?
Yes, very true.
Exactly.
You're like, how is this, just because I said today, I don't really feel like I like the color pink.
Yeah.
No
one's
twisty.
Listening. Exactly. No one's actually reading. People only nowadays want the things that will cause a stir so that they can feel important. You know what I mean? Like if they can say, oh my God, this is what she meant, then now the attention's on them. It's no longer.
And it makes them look like they're supporting something.
All day long.
True. Because everybody wants to be on the right side of history. And it's...
There's no such thing as the right side of history, you guys. History is history. And the problem is that the person who's on the right side of history is the one who put it in the book for you to read it. It's there. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, everybody can make one side right or not.
Do you want to do
the honors? Oh, yeah.
Go for it.
Kelly, welcome to Tea Time. And during Tea Time... When we're really deep in conversation, we like to pause and put our hand in the teapot to pick out the topic that we're going to talk about.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah, because surprise, this wasn't even the topic that you were meant to be talking about.
Oh my God, my hand's stuck in there. Hilarious. Okay.
There it is.
Well done.
Lovely.
Okay.
Today on Tea Time, we're talking about
women's health.
Women's health.
When women's health.
That's what we're wearing these. Women's health. We should have had one for you, Kelly. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So we're all women. We're all healthy women. Let's talk about it.
I try and be healthy.
We try to.
Mental health.
Mental health has to come first.
Yeah.
For me in everything, because that's where... most of my problems lie. And if I'm not
mental struggles,
I've had mental health struggles my whole life. I didn't get diagnosed until I was 35.
Diagnosed with what, Kelly?
Like OCD, PTSD, BPD.
Really?
Yeah. And even though like I barely qualified.
Yeah.
I'm still there.
I have CPTSD.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
So this is childhood, right? It's childhood trauma, environment.
Environment, childhood trauma, and that you carry with you your whole life, and it becomes like a... You don't... I didn't realize that I had so much work to do on myself. And then once I was given my diagnosis, it was like the key to Pandora's box. Like I opened it up, and I'm like, okay, I can change this.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be this way. I mean, the OCD stuff and the way that I can go around and around and around on the same topic.
Rumination?
It's terrible.
So how does your OCD manifest? Just in rumination and thought or?
Rumination, thought, and placement.
Okay.
Placement of things.
Placement of things.
Interesting.
Right now my house is a mess. I don't want to go into it. I'm very, very, very upset with it.
Got it.
And... It's like because the things aren't put in the places where they're meant to be.
They're not in their home.
No. And my partner also has OCD. Oh. So let's say I put this cup here because I like it over that rose. He would be like, that's too close to the end of the table and the baby's going to come, so I'm going to put it over here.
And then you guys are both And then just I'm like,
oh my God, you just moved my cup that I put there. And it, like, we'll have like World War III over something so small like that. But thanks to my therapy and medication, I'm doing real good.
That's constant exposure therapy for you with that. Yeah. I mean, that's amazing. I think what you said, though, about receiving a diagnosis and then understanding that you could fix or work on these things is so important, because sometimes people shy away from that. But I think that figuring out or is liberating in a lot of ways.
It's liberating. It's like, I was like, okay, great. We've got this. Let's now figure out how we work with it.
Yeah.
Because it... Like, I've been walking around thinking that I was absolutely fucking insane and that no one understood me when I was just really textbook.
Yeah.
And once I
have compassion for yourself.
I knew all of this stuff. I did so much reading. And one of my favorites was Attached. And it teaches you all about like attachment theory and what kind of a person you are in relationships. Mm. It's mostly in sexual relationships, but I
that's a symptom of things that happen to
everything. Yeah. Yeah. And it's just really interesting.
So you have BPD,
borderline personality disorder.
I read about that a lot, but for those who don't know, could you just give us a quick little blurb of what that actually means?
I'm still trying to figure it out myself.
That's fair.
If I'm honest. Because I thought at first it was a bit of a death sentence. Mm-hmm. And that if people ever found out about it, that they would think I was crazy. And it's not. It's just not the case. It just means that, like, there are certain things that I pick up on. Like, if you suddenly became pissed off with me, I would figure it out before you did. You pick up on people's...
So you're highly attuned to your environment.
So people, highly attuned.
Hypervigilant. I relate to those things.
It's a lot of fear of abandonment, I think. A lot of, but there's something like 9 traits. Mm. And you have to have 4 to qualify. And I think I had like 3.5.
Got it. I find that interesting because I read about that. I read about narcissistic personality disorder.
I'm really glad I don't have that.
Yeah, I know. I grew up with a narcissist.
That's wild.
But I bring that up to say there's some people that are born with narcissism. Mm-hmm. And there's some people that acquire it through their childhood. Mm-hmm. And I have PTSD.
Chronic. Post-traumatic stress disorder.
That's what that means. And we both grew up in front of the camera.
Yeah.
We both had to be hypervigilant of knowing what's going on around us at all times and knowing that if we perform for that little glass circle, there's going to be people watching.
Yeah.
I don't know if you went through this, but I also knew that when I'm performing, I'm watching myself and my movements so I know what I look like without actually having to see the screen afterwards. That was weird. And
I wish I had that talent because I always find myself like... It wasn't until I went on RuPaul's Drag Race that they told me, they're like, you stand real butch. And I was like, everyone does.
I told her, I was like, you are the straightest lesbian I've ever met.
Everyone says that to me. All of my lesbian friends say that to me. And you know how they have, like, there's different categories in being a lesbian.
Yes, you're a butch dude.
So
you're a butch dude.
I've come up with a new one. Because you know how they have, like, pillow princess?
Yes.
I'm a pillow and blanket.
No, she didn't go there. Wow, yes, that's a good one.
I'm a pillow and blanket.
Babes, I think that might be...
Me?
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Because...
Hilarious.
So I would be totally fine if somebody wanted to go down, whatever. But I don't think I could ever be face to face. You would be on top. A vagina. I just don't think I could.
No, but you'd be on top. Yeah. Like
No.
No. But what if you strapped up? Like, could you?
I don't think I could do that.
You couldn't be the man?
I'd piss myself.
Really?
I'd piss myself laughing. I don't think I could get through that at all.
Really?
No, I think.
Kelly, I can totally, I know this is totally off topic. We're like, mental health. Listen, I think women's you can do
health.
It.
This is all part of, it is you know what? Health. Sex is part of women's health.
I think you could top a girl and then you never have to like kiss it or look at it.
Maybe.
You have the energy.
Every, you know how there's like guys with big dick energy?
Yeah.
I give off like lesbian energy.
Yes, you do.
Literally after your birthday, she said that to me. And I was like, I don't see that. And she was like, no, it's there. It's always been there. And I was like, I really don't. To me, you're like a little like fairy, like a blonde, aww, dainty fairy who wears like black bows.
No, I think that.
I know. I don't know her well enough.
It's just, it's one of those things where like I feel very comfortable around women.
Mm.
And always have. And
you do possess a power.
I was gonna say, are you maybe mistaking it for
power? I keep getting told that if I was going to switch, I'd be a very powerful lesbian.
Yeah. You'd be a Kelly.
And I was like, maybe I'll take up carpentry. I don't know.
Hilarious. Not carpentry.
I mean, bang, bang, bang. No.
She's like at the Home Depot. We're like, we have to get Kelly Osborne out of Home Depot. Hilarious. Okay, so other forms, though, of women's health. I am wondering, too, did your relationship to your body change after being pregnant?
Yes.
How so?
I realized how fragile the human body is.
Mm.
But also how powerful it is.
I was going to say, yeah.
It's insane what happens to your body and how it changes and all these little things that you're like, why the fuck is this happening to me? Like, my nipples went so, like, a completely different color.
Dark.
Really? They go way darker, yeah, because it's when the baby is born, they can't see very much.
Mm-hmm. High contrast.
It goes to a color that the baby can pick up on so it knows where to feed. And I was like, this is so cool that your body just does shit like that.
That's awesome. The body is amazing. I worked as a birth doula. And
wow, that must have been such a beautiful experience.
It was. It was wild. And like you said, seeing the fragility and then also the power and strength,
mm-hmm,
all at one time, watching a woman give birth is one of the most like phenomenal, mind-blowing, terrifying, beautiful things
and
ever.
And disgusting.
It's all of the things, but it is really like is. Life encapsulated in one moment. It's wild.
When I was giving birth, it was like I was terrified up until the minute my water broke. And then all of a sudden, I became really calm.
Mm.
Everyone else was running out around me, freaking out. My dad was freaking out. My mom was freaking out. Sid was freaking out. And I was just like, and at one point, it was like a TV show. They ran into each other. And I was like, can you guys just get it together? And we get to the hospital and it was like this superwoman thing came over me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was crazy. I didn't think I had it in me, but you do. You don't realize until you're there.
I've seen it time and time again. It's so true. It's so wild. And was your experience, your labor and birth was great, or how would you describe it?
I would say it was a bit scary. There was a few complications because he turned during the delivery and the cord went around his neck.
Oh my gosh.
So he came out and it took him a minute to stop breathing, which was the most terrifying.
Did you deliver him feet first?
I think so.
That's wild. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I think that was what happened.
Yeah, that's intense.
Because I had to... For hours, they had me while I was in labor with this thing called a pill between my legs, which is a special pillow to open up my hips so that he could turn.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he... I can't remember if he fully turned or if they pulled him out feet first.
It's wild.
But I had enough stitches to be like, whew.
Oh, yeah? You ripped from tip to top?
Not from tip to top. I didn't have a vajass hole.
Oh, okay, cool.
No vajass hole. I had something like 14 stitches or like seven on each side.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a big tear. That's so intense, I think. I've seen it. I don't know. I'm getting images just hitting me back from my time, but it's amazing.
How's your period after a pregnancy?
Okay. So the first one after you have a baby is, for lack of a better word, gnarly.
Very well
said.
She
asked you about that round.
So you bleed for a long time and then it stops and then it can take a few months for you to get your period. I had it exactly a month after I gave birth. Good for you. Yeah.
I've been going through like a period change. Like just to be 100, not that you asked, I'll tell you anyway.
this is about women's health. It's about women's health.
When I was younger, I had really bad periods, you guys. I had this one time I was at a photo shoot.
I remember we were in New York and you had a really bad period one time.
She had the worst.
Yeah. Periods, Kelly. To the point where liquor didn't help. Nothing helped. And I was at a photo shoot. I had this beautiful dress on and I bled through that whole thing. I felt so bad. I would tuck with tissue, diapers, and everything.
Tuck.
Honey, I did all the things. But I started changing the way that I ate. I took a lot of sugar out of my diet. I lost some weight.
The inflammation reduced.
I still get clotting, but the actual contractions don't hurt as much as they used to. And now I have like a little bit of spotting before. I know when it's coming. It wasn't like a gush of stuff right beforehand. And it's interesting because when I was younger, my mom was like, take magnesium, you'll be fine. My aunt, rest in peace, she was like, take some whiskey, you'll be fine. None of that helped. What helped was getting sugar out of my diet. Yeah. And I was extremely anemic. Like, let's talk about it for reals. Like when you have a period, you're losing blood.
Yeah.
You're losing iron, and rarely do we have enough nutrients in our food, especially in America, that will replenish it correctly. Mm-hmm. And so eating healthy, taking different organs from animals, and releasing and getting rid of processed sugar, still having some carbs here and there, but my periods have changed dramatically.
That was a big change for me when I started eating right. Everything became like clockwork and all the symptoms kind of went away. And I got a new one, which was like, now when I get my period, I'm not hungry at all.
Kelly, me too. Wow. I don't eat the first day of my period.
It's so strange. And it'll be like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the day. And I'm like, wait, I haven't eaten today.
Me neither.
Do you get it as you're ovulating?
I don't know. I think it's just like for the week that I have my period, it's just like your appetite is just gone.
That's how I am as well. But I will become ravenous like the 2 weeks before. So when I ovulate, I'm really munchy and I
have to look out for that.
I eat a lot the week before. It's like hibernation.
Yeah. And ovulating too, when I'm ovulating is when I feel my best. I feel like.
How do you know you're ovulating?
Okay. Yes. Well.
What is ovulation?
Ovulation is when your body is making the egg to be essentially implanted. And then if you don't get pregnant, your body passes it and you shed your uterine lining and you're bleeding. And that's what you're bleeding. But when I'm ovulating, because the body at that time is basically trying to be its most attractive to call in a mate to impregnate you, right? This is what the body is doing. Well, it's true. Like my skin is the best. I feel kind of more like sultry, sexual. I feel like my face is contoured in all the correct ways naturally because I can watch my face throughout the month and see how it changes.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I bleed, I lose my appetite. I'll get like semi-constipated and I'll just swell.
Oh, I have the best shits on my period.
I'll get puffy and I'm just like,
I'm like you.
I have the best shits on my period, yo. You guys, it's fantastic.
I'm not consistent in that way.
Oh, I'm sorry, babes. It's a beautiful thing. It requires a lot of tissue, but I just want to say.
Just blood and shit.
It's so wrong. Sorry, you guys. Listen, it's about women's health today, all right?
I mean, it's real.
Sorry, you guys. But, right? It changes.
But do you guys see your fluctuations during the month, too? Or am I psycho and hypervigilant?
I think you might be a bit hypervigilant because I've just never associated it with.
So you never like look in the mirror one day and you're like, oh God, I'm so puffy. And then you like.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah, okay. But I don't think about an ovulation period.
Yeah,
right
I don't
then.
Think like, about that. Got it.
But you can recognize changes in your face
after
or body.
I eat French fries, I'm puffy.
That too.
I notice it most in my hands. Because my hands get tight and my ring start to annoy me.
Interesting.
Inflammation.
Yeah.
Inflammation or swelling for sure.
When I eat something bad, I know it is, the next morning I check. If I can feel inside of here, I'm like, okay, it didn't hit me too bad.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And you know, Kelly has always been very open about your fluctuation with weight, as have I. Mm-hmm. And we've always met each other.
Yep.
We always find thing. You seem very healthy.
Thank you.
And you also seem consistent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you know that. You know what I'm talking about.
I mean, I had lap band surgery, the gastric sleeve. It was such an amazing choice for myself because it taught me how to eat in moderation. It taught me how to love myself in a way that I hadn't loved myself before, because I would punish myself with food.
Same.
I love you.
I would punish myself with food. So to be in a place now where I don't do that anymore, and I'll have like a little bit of something and then leave it, mm-hmm. and not want to eat the whole thing. It's
that's hard.
But let's be one. I had a friend who had lap band, and I know some other people who did too. It's not the lap band that does it. That's a mental shift.
Yeah.
And yes, well, it also helps
is
help
the
it.
Lap band.
Oh, it
because,
does?
Yeah, you physically cannot. You'll start vomiting or, you know, you can't.
Some people will stretch it. That lap band.
No,
no.
I've,
you can.
They, I know people who.
I do as well.
So it's like, because I had to sleeve. The band is something that I wouldn't recommend because I don't think it's smart to put like a foreign object inside your body.
Okay.
The gastric sleeve is just where they cut your stomach from the stomach shape to literally the shape of a banana.
Okay.
And I physically cannot eat as much as I used to. But if I wanted to,
you could force yourself.
I could force myself and it would be very painful and you'd probably throw up and
got it.
But
so you got the insides changed over. The gastric bypass is just it bypasses a certain area.
Yeah.
It goes back, but it's still inside of you. Got it, got it. That's interesting.
It's so hard when it comes to food and the mental element.
Mental
because
side of
I've
it.
Struggled mm-hmm. with it for such, I mean, it feels like my entire life, to be honest. And the binging and the punishing with food and then also seeking comfort in food and all of these emotions.
And then not eating
it.
As well.
Well, yes. And then there's the restrictive cycles for sure. But it's just hell. I mean, it's so
it
brutal
horrible.
Because you can't abstain. It's not like, you know, a drug or alcohol addiction where if you get over the hump, you can keep yourself from it. You have to eat to survive. So it's just, it's such a difficult
relationship.
You guys,
I've never had a problem with restriction. I can.
You
like,
just binge.
I just binged.
Yeah.
I could not do it. I literally had to be on every single, I had all the pills. Yeah. You know what I mean? And not until I got with my wife that
you,
I learned about
I,
fasting.
Can I interrupt you a little bit? Because yeah. you did have a restrictive thing when you were only doing your Kit Kats and that was highly restrictive.
I was on a pill, babe.
Oh. So it was killing your appetite.
It was killing, yeah. Reductil was the best diet pill out
was
here in the streets.
Basically speed.
Yeah, it was great. I was skinny as fuck.
Yes. You were such
bobble
a bobble
me,
head.
Bitch. That was a bobble.
Really, she was.
That's why I think things like Ozempic and is what is it?
Wegovy.
Wegovy. What is it? Sigma glutide. Is
yeah,
that,
oh, yeah, that's the main thing.
The main thing in it. I think it's going to help so many people.
It has already.
I think it's going to help so many people. And there's people are trying to put like a, you've been on the shot. Yeah. You've been. I'm like, it doesn't matter how you do it. As long as you get to your happy place.
It's such an impossible battle in mm-hmm. so many ways that I am similar to you, think that if there is something that can help people in a real way to yeah. achieve their health, and not just for the vanity of it all, you know, but the really health. The health elements yeah. of it are so important. And people are not meant to be carrying around hundreds of pounds of extra weight.
No.
It kills them. So I think that, you know, if people can get there, God bless. Thank goodness.
But I learned how mentally fucked I am when it comes to food.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help that our food is genetically and chemically pushed with things that will allow us to be addicted to it.
Yeah.
No matter
yeah,
what. Yeah, yeah. They do it on purpose.
Yes,
it's
they do.
Insane.
And then they blame us.
Yeah, this is true.
It's a problem.
It's a huge problem.
It hurts. What's one thing that you learned about your body now that you're a mom? Do you look at it
that
different?
That it can bounce back real quick.
Ooh. Were you worried getting pregnant that your body was going to change a ton and like the weight gain and all of that?
I mean, I have stretch marks and I think that my stomach kind of is representative of an old man's butthole. But
I got tissues if you need.
Like literally.
You need to wipe
like
your stomach?
I'll show you. Not on camera. But it. From where, because I was
yeah.
so pregnant, I gained 100, like almost 100 pounds when I was pregnant.
You were super pregnant, dude.
And
really?
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
She was cute.
You held that very well because you did not look like you were carrying 100 extra pounds at
it,
that baby shower.
It felt like it.
She held it well because she knows how to hold weight.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
She knows
you
how to
learn
hold
that, like, but you know, once you're a FP, you stay an FP for the rest of your life.
Yes.
Like, former fat person for the rest of my life.
I was wondering, I was like, what does that mean? Me too, dude.
Like you, and that's why, like, when someone is losing weight and they're doing well, I'm always like, like, I know what that feels like, and you're doing so good. Mm-hmm. But, and I don't pick apart how they're doing it either.
You can't. It's not, that's what I was saying a little bit earlier, is that, like, unless you've been through the struggle mm-hmm. of food and body, you can't understand the hell or the prison you're in day out. And even if that is a very thin appearing person who is in eating disorder hell because they know that they have to eat something, but it's only at this time or whatever. I mean, it is absolute, it's jail. Like it's the worst thing. And it feels self-inflicted. It feels like this torture, and you are essentially just in your own mental illness and it's horrid.
And it's not just for women. Yes, we were talking about women's health, but men struggle with it. And I think that it gets overlooked in men a lot of the time.
I think very true.
And I'm not trying to, this is not about y'all, but I'm also just letting y'all know that we see you.
Men are important.
Sometimes. And I feel like right now, since we're talking about women's health, you know, I don't want to shy away from the fact that
food, these are human
these
issues.
These are human issues. These are definitely human issues.
Do you feel more grounded, secure, at peace in your body now than you have recently, especially since now you're 40?
40.
You look good.
You know, 40s. I heard that 42 is the, like, chef's kiss age of a woman.
Yeah, I heard, like, that too. Between 42 and 45 is supposed, like, to be, like, the best time of your life.
Best you'll ever look, feel, whatever. I mean, you're on your way. We're all on our way. But yeah, I'm glad. So you are feeling.
I do. And I don't feel like I have to pretend to be anybody.
Mm. How freeing.
You know what I mean? Like, if I think that I've been on this planet long enough to where people have made up their mind about me. If they like me, they like me. If they don't, they don't. And they'll find every reason not to. And you're just like, that's okay. I don't need you to like me for my happiness.
Yeah. I love that. Let's toast.
Let's toast.
Let's toast.
Let's toast. What are we toasting to, babe?
Today we're toasting to women.
Okay.
And I'm going to read off some facts about women and the gender health gap when it comes to women. So, as of 2015, there were 5 times more studies on erectile dysfunction, which impacts roughly 18% of men, than premenstrual PMS, which impacts up to 90% of women. So
they care more about erectile dysfunction than something that the humans have been going through, females, since the beginning of time, every single month?
Exactly.
What are they expecting, for us to just, like, communally tell you what's up?
I don't know what they're expecting, but crazy. Just really? A fact.
I just don't understand why the dick is more important.
Forever more important, it seems.
It doesn't make sense.
No.
That's what a lesbian would say, Kelly.
Oh my God.
Hilarious. Guantanamo. Don't do that.
I think he's over there.
Quinn. So women will spend 25% more of their lives in poor health compared to men, with a significant portion of this disparity occurring during their working years. Again, because of research and men dominating. And
that's sad, because they put us on such a high pedestal to keep humans populated in this world, and yet you won't look at us equal when it comes to health in our working years. We had to fight to work.
Yeah.
We have to fight to get these positions, and now we have to fight just to stay in good health. It's disgusting.
And here's one more for all of us. Out of 112 internal medicine residency programs reviewed in a 2016 study, approximately 25% did not include menopause, and more than 70% did not include infertility. So the gender health gap is massive, and I think that women have to educate themselves, and us having these types of conversations is super important and needed, and we have to keep learning about our bodies and ourselves and take it upon ourselves to educate you know, ourselves and the other women in our lives, and know what your anatomy is called.
Yeah, what do you call your
Your hoo-ha.
I don't really have a name for it.
You didn't name her?
No.
Did you name yours?
Yeah, that bitch.
Oh my God. I was literally going to tell a joke, and I was like, no, that's a bit crass. I'll keep it to myself.
Well,
you call it cunty?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. You guys, you two are perfect. Cunty. You two are perfect. Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I love that you fucking knew that. Because I was like, I was going to say. British.
Got you, girl.
Too good. Too good.
Love you.
I love you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you,
and Quinn loves you,
Quinn,
too.
Quinn,
I love you. Thank you for the kisses under the table. Do you want to come up here?
Of course.
Yes.
Up, up, Quinn.
Up, up. Up, up.
there. Hello, handsome boy.
Oh, he likes her.
Of course. Kelly's
so
an animal lady.
She is an animal lady.